Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have your Bibles with you today, please turn with me to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read the first two verses of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. We read here that God is commanding Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach to them. This God says was because their wickedness was come up before him. It came that ordained time when God was going to move against this city for their rebellion against him. The next verse we read is this. But Jonah, in verse 3. God told Jonah to do something, but Jonah did not want to do it. Man in his flesh will always want to do things his own way for whatever reason it might be. It does not matter what the reason is, if you are doing what you want to do instead of what God says to do, you are rebelling against him. You might say, men don't do this. If they really know God, but what does Scripture tell us? In Numbers 13, we read of the account of the children of Israel where they came to the land of Canaan, and the Lord told Moses to send out the men to spy the land out and come back with the report. There were 12 that went out to spy the land. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with an honest report. But the rest came back with an evil report. They reported of the great bounty of the food that was there, but the fortification of it and the men that were there, they said, were too much for them to overcome. They feared men instead of God, that is, these 10. But Joshua and Caleb said to go in and take it, for they feared God and not men. In chapter 14, we read, they murmured against Moses and Aaron. They wanted someone to lead them back to Egypt. They willed to go back to their bondage. After all that God had did for them up to this point, they still wanted their bondage. They were ready to stone Moses and Aaron to get what they wanted. But man always wants the opposite from what God says to do. Once they had done all these things, God tells them this in Numbers 14, verses 20 through 27. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, As truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. So now Moses tells the congregation what he has said, that they will not enter into the land. You would think that maybe now they would cry out for mercy and ask forgiveness of God. What do they do now? Numbers 14, verses 40 and 41. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. So God first tells them to enter the land. They say no, they will not enter into the land. Then God tells them they will die in the wilderness and not go into the land. They then make attempts to ascend up to God to tell God they will go in. Man is always doing the opposite of what God tells them to do. This is man by nature. Whether a man is regenerate or unregenerate, his evil nature is to do the opposite of what God says to do. They want to try to ascend to God their own way. What are they actually doing, though? Let's look some more at Jonah in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Then we read where God sends the storm, and the men of the ship are frightened, and are throwing things overboard, but it is not making anything any better as far as the ship being able to make it through the storm. So what do we read next in verse 5? Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. We know the rest of the account. They woke him up and told him to pray to his God so they did not all die. Then they cast lots to see for whom the cause of this trouble was falling on them. The lot fell on Jonah. So he ended up telling them that if they were to be saved, they had to throw him overboard. We see so far for everything that Jonah was doing. All these things he was doing, rebellion against God, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, we read it, every step he took was down. When man tries to do things his own way, all he will do is go down, down, down. So what happens now? Now there comes a preparation of God. This is another going down, which God had prepared. Jonah continued to go down, but this time it was of God's preparation. Jonah then begins to pray to God. He is now feeling the affliction of God on his soul. He said he is in the belly of hell. When God's preparation comes taking you down, you will then begin to see that your way is not the right way. Your way has brought you down into the belly of hell. You will begin to cry out to God for mercy, knowing that if he does not do anything, if he is not willing to do anything, then you are going to perish in hell. Oh, but there is mercy and forgiveness with God. God told the fish to vomit Jonah out on dry land. Oh, the mercy of God. The belly of hell was not able to keep us. Why? We know this is an account about Jonah, but this is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and him doing for those who he has chosen from the foundation of the world that thing which will set them free from their bondage. This is a picture of Christ coming into the world to save sinners. There are so many scriptures that show us how merciful and kind God is to his people. This passage is not absent of that. We see in Numbers again where God, even though the people were rebellious, God was still kind and merciful to them. We have the people of Israel where they were traveling in the wilderness and complained against God. And God never seemed to show anger to them, but was merciful to them. How? He gave them water from the rock. Although Moses, who typifies the law of God, was angry with them, God refreshed them with water from the rock. He gave them manna from heaven and meat from heaven. God is kind and merciful to those he loves. We see it right here in this passage. Although some may not see it as kindness, maybe when God is teaching you something or that is correcting you of something, it may not seem like he is merciful and kind. I'm sure Jonah did not feel like what he was going through was nice and kind, but the alternative was to have died in the sea. God is always faithful to his people, no matter whether we are faithful or not, and we are not always faithful to God. If we are faithful, it is because he has given us the faith, and he has worked in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But this account is about someone greater than Jonah. Jonah being thrown overboard and swallowed up by a great fish, he stayed there for 3 days and 3 nights. This was a picture of that one who is greater than Jonah, who would come. This sign, that is the sign of Jesus Christ the Lord, our Messiah, is the only sign given to sinful men. That is the one that is greater than Jonah. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 12, and verses 38 through 42. Matthew 12, 38 through 42. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and he shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This world always wants something different than what God gives. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, Jesus Christ, once he suffered the death of the cross, having been made sin for us, having been forsaken of God the Father, he gave up the ghost and died. He was dead 3 days and 3 nights. But as Jonah was in the fish's belly, then he arose from that grave victorious, having put away sins forever. When he arose from the grave, he ascended to the Father on high, but then returning in a glorified body. It is in this man, who is God himself, that took my place, me, a sinful man who hated God and was not looking for God, but trying to run away from God to my own destruction. But it is he that took my place. He calmed the storm of God's wrath against me, so that now this same sovereign, almighty, all-powerful God shows me kindness and mercy in his Son. So much so that I can now approach unto God by Jesus Christ the Lord, having fellowship in him. The sign given by God is what Christ has done. Those people of Nineveh heard the gospel proclaimed by Jonah, and they repented of their way. We have now a greater than Jonah, who is right here in this passage proclaimed us the gospel. He tells us of what he would do and now has done. He now sends others to proclaim the gospel. Will God have mercy on you? If he has, then you will hear this gospel and repent. If you will not hear this gospel, you are still looking for a sign. And there is no other sign given, nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. When the lot was cast, it had to be him, that is, Jesus Christ the Lord. He was the only one that could satisfy the fierce anger and wrath of God for those in his ship. After coming out of the grave, he now goes forth through those sent by him preaching the gospel, which declares to those hearing that he has finished the work. This is the only place you will find mercy of God. Even after Jonah was vomited up on dry ground, he went into Nineveh and proclaimed God's truth to the people, and they repented. Christ tells us he did so. So I know they did. But Jonah still got angry with God. What was he angry about? Well, if you read, you can see that Jonah was angry because God did something in mercy towards Nineveh. Jonah did not like the people of Nineveh. Jonah did not like the people of Nineveh, and he knew God is a merciful God and would probably show mercy on them. That is what he says in chapter 4 of Jonah. It is the reason why he did not want to go to Nineveh in the first place, in chapter 1 that we've read here. He was so angry about it that he said he wanted to die. But look here in this passage, in chapter 4, God does not deal unkindly to Jonah, even when he is being a complainer and a backtalker against the God Almighty himself. However, God did teach Jonah who he is. He makes the gourd grow to cover Jonah's head, and then he makes the gourd wither. Not to mention that God sent the wind to cause Jonah to be even more miserable. But God did these things to Jonah to teach him who he, that is, who God is. This passage shows how we are. Man being angry with God in rebellion against God is all the old man can do. That's all the old man can do. In Proverbs 14 and 17 we read, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." And in Proverbs 29:22 it says, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Just as God said to Jonah, what is there that we have to be angry about? We have created nothing. We have control of nothing. So we have nothing to be angry about as it concerns God. Were it not for the mercy of God in Christ Jesus the Lord, all sons and daughters of Adam would be consumed in the fires of hell. Yet man, that is those who do not know God, those who do not love God, get angry with God when he does with his creation just as he is pleased to do. His creation being everything and everyone. But not only that, we see that God's people can be angry with God. As a child of God, if you get angry with God, he will correct you. We see this in the book of Jonah, right here. Jonah, when first told by God to go to preach to Nineveh, he got angry and did not immediately go. He tried to get away from God. He was trying to get away from God, from what God was telling him to do, and he started out by heading to Tarshish instead. Even after all that he went through on the ship, then being thrown overboard, being 3 days and three nights in the fish's belly and spit up on dry ground, he still gets angry after he preaches the gospel to Nineveh. God corrects us every time. If God does not correct us, what does his word tell us? Then are ye bastards and not sons. If there are no troubles you encounter and your sailing in your ship is smooth and sunny, with nothing going wrong, it seems everything goes right, you might have good reason to worry. Because it says that we are all partakers of his correction, that is his people. Why? Because the fact is all of his people need correction. If you are not partaking of his correction, then you are not his. What about God's anger? God does everything right. He is God and creator of all things. Therefore, whatever he does is right because of who he is. If God is angry, he is absolutely right in being so. God's anger is not something you want to have on you. His correction is not anger. His correction is in love and kindness to his. But here is God and his anger as we read it in Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. God is jealous and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea, and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, that is, his wrath? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. I don't want to be God's adversary, although I know by nature I am that very thing. I don't want to be wicked, although I know by nature I am that very thing towards God. The scripture says that God is angry with the wicked. When? Every day. Psalm 7 and 11 says this, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms 2:12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. How do you kiss the Son? This is not a kiss of one on the cheek. This is a kissing of bowing down at his feet in humble adoration for who he is. That is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you do not want to bow down to Jesus Christ the Lord, then you are yet wicked and his adversary. You will either know the mercy of God or the anger of God. Is God angry with you? Scripture says God is angry with the wicked every day. We've already read it. I don't want God to be angry with me, but merciful to me. Not because I deserve it. That is not that because I deserve mercy, but because I need it. I deserve the anger and wrath of God coming down on my head, because the only thing I try to do is run from God to have my own way and not his. But God be thanked, if I am in his Son, I will never know the anger of God Almighty. We see here in this book, the book of Jonah, that there is one who is complaining about what God is pleased to do. Jonah did not want God to show mercy to those in Nineveh and was angry with God. But listen, do not presume on God. Don't think you can do this and everything will be okay. Don't think God owes you anything. God owes us nothing but his anger and wrath. Don't be flippant with God and think you will just do what you want to and have your own way. We know that God has chosen a people. It is clearly in Scripture. I know people may think we say God chose some to salvation and chose others to hell, but that is not true. God certainly does choose his people to salvation. But God does not have to choose sinful man to go to hell or eternal damnation. A man or a woman who has not been chosen in Christ is already fitted to that end. If God has not chosen a man or a woman, they are already dead in trespasses and in sins. They are already the very enemies of God. They are wicked before a thrice holy God, whether they know it or not, whether they think it or not. Are we going to blame God for not choosing us? God commands all men everywhere to repent. God said in his word that all that come to him he will in no wise cast out. Yet there are thousands, even millions, who could care less about Jesus Christ. For most, Jesus Christ is someone they are involved with when they go to church, and that's it. Then there are some who do not care about Jesus Christ at all. Some certainly do love the Jesus of their own imagination, but they would not even think about having the absolutely sovereign of the universe to be their Lord, and no natural man will. The truth is that none will ever come to and bow down to Jesus Christ unless God has chosen them in His faithful Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, before the foundation of the world. And then He coming to them, giving them life by His Spirit and sending the gospel in power to them. God be thanked that He would even think about choosing me, a wretched, no good sinner, to show mercy on me. Not only that, even after God reveals Himself to me, I complain constantly at the hand of God and what He provides for me every day. Yet God is merciful and kind to me to take care of my every need. He can do this because He knows all my needs when I have no idea what I have need of. He corrects me always. So how does God show mercy to me? How is God kind to me? How can He be kind to me if I am born a rebel against Him? The only one that can calm the seas of God Almighty's furious wrath against a sinner is Jesus Christ. Him being the one who was the one that took His people's place of being thrown overboard to suffer the death that we should die. His death calms the storm of God's wrath against those whom He has chosen in His glorious Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. Those who are His were raised with Him to eternal life. Now He just needs to let them know about it. It is up to God to show mercy to us. He does this in His Son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. Him being God manifest in the flesh, His cross work in that He was made sin, died and was buried 3 days and three nights, and arose from the grave victorious, having accomplished salvation, that is, completed salvation, that is, finished salvation, for those to whom the Father gave Him. My prayer is that all of those who are hearing me, that you do not have to experience the anger and wrath of God. I pray that He has shown mercy to you. I know He can because He is a gracious and a merciful God. But if He has shown you mercy, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross work, the Almighty Creator and Controller of this world. Will you continue to go on your way down, down, down? I pray that He has sent His Son to die for you. And my hope is He will then begin to take you through the storms of His wrath to reveal Himself to you, so that you will then be enabled to cry out just as Jonah did when God pulled him from the belly of hell. Salvation is of the Lord.